Our scripture reading is from Genesis 37, 12 through 28. Joseph sold by his brothers. Now his brothers had gone to graze their father's flocks near Shechem, and Israel said to Joseph, "As you know, your brothers are grazing the flocks near Shechem. Come, I am going to send you to them." "Very well," he replied. So he said to him, "Go and see if all is well with your brothers and with the flocks, and bring word back to me." Then he sent him off from the valley of Hebron. When Joseph arrived at Shechem, a man found him wandering around in the fields and asked him, "What are you looking for?" He replied, "I'm looking for my brothers. Can you tell me where they are grazing their flocks?" "They have moved on from here," the man answered. "I heard them say, 'Let's go to Dothan.'" So Joseph went after his brothers and found them near Dothan. But they saw him in the distance, and before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. "Here comes that dreamer," they said to each other. "Come now, let's kill him and throw him into one of these cisterns, and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams." When Reuben heard this, he tried to rescue him from their hands. "Let's not take his life," he said. "Don't shed any blood. Throw him into this cistern here in the wilderness, but don't lay a hand on him." Reuben said this to rescue him from them and take him back to his father. So when Joseph came to his brothers, they stripped him of his robe, the ornate robe he was wearing, and they took him and threw him into the cistern. The cistern was empty. There was no water in it. As they sat down to eat their meal, they looked up and saw a caravan of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead. Their camels were loaded with spices, balm, and myrrh, and they were on their way to take them down to Egypt. Judah said to his brothers, "What will we gain if we kill our brother and cover up his blood? Come, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and not lay our hands on him. After all, he is our brother, our own flesh and blood." His brothers agreed. So when the Midianite merchants came by, his brothers pulled Joseph up out of the cistern and sold him for 20 shekels of silver to the Ishmaelites, who took him to Egypt. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Anybody grow up with brothers like that? Anybody? Man, sisters like that? Yeah, I guess we can include sisters. That'd be rough. That would be rough. Okay, so today's actually kind of an add-on to close out our sermon series on healing the wound. It was a realization I had. We were getting near the end of the series just a week or two ago. You know, I think my goal and hope for this series would be that some of us would be able to heal some wounds that perhaps we have protected in life. As people, we tend to kind of hold on to things. Even pain from our past, we can hold on to that. The pain we hold on to actually tends to be an important part of our identity. It can sometimes really be who we are, is the pain that has been inflicted upon us that we continue to live with. Now, there's a pain we can do something about, and there's a pain that we can't. And if you lost a loved one, that tends to be a pain that really has to go through a grief process. And the grief process takes as long as it takes. And some of you all know this. Like when you lost somebody that was very near and dear to you, it can be some long suffering. But a lot of pain is also just about forgiveness. Forgiving ourselves, forgiving somebody else, making the decision to do those things. These can be long-lasting wounds that we can lock up behind our head, behind our heart, behind our body, and we put them there for safekeeping, metaphorically speaking, right, is what I'm saying. We keep them safe there. These can be long-lasting wounds, right? And so this, in turn, causes us as people to, over time, become kind of overly reliant on our thinking, on our feeling, on our sensing, our power, if you will, instead of fully living into the reality that we can be people who do all three, that we can live from all three places. And if you aren't really living into all three, then how can you be loving God with all of your head, all of your heart, all of your body and power, right? Which also, I think, makes it really hard to do the other thing that Jesus said was so important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Unresolved hurt in our lives, I think, typically makes us more suspicious, makes us more resentful, makes us quicker to anger, and makes us quicker to judgment when we've got some of these unresolved things going on. Things that we would not tend to associate with the phrase, love your neighbor as yourself, right? Another thing the adaptive change group learned that was up here earlier, right? Like another thing that we learned was from a book we read called The Anatomy of Peace. And it's a book about conflict resolution. And what church wouldn't benefit from knowing more about conflict resolution? What organization or business or family would not benefit from conflict resolution? And one of the recommendations it had for resolving conflict and loving your neighbor was to get yourself out of your box, is how it described it. It named a bunch of different kinds of boxes that we tend to get into that lead in our lives to unresolved conflict, that it just doesn't get resolved. And one of these boxes that they describe is the better than box. Better than. As in the I'm better than you box. And there are these subtle ways that we believe that we are better than someone else, which allows us to ignore in our lives conflict and anger and bitterness that we hold for someone else because we're just simply better than them, so they're not going to understand. God's desire is that we have, hopefully, peace and love with one another, right? But the problem is that your head and your heart and your body will betray you to do something else, to convince you that it's okay to do something else, to treat people in another way. And so the betrayal looks something like this. Here's just very simply what it looks like. When you get stuck in your head, it says, look, thinking will take care of all your problems. It'll resolve everything for you. You need to ignore your feelings and your emotions because that never gets anything done when you get all emotional about it, right? And you need to ignore your body, your sensing, that power, because, man, that's just so carnal and basic. Don't be carnal and basic. Just trust your head, and it'll keep you safe and secure in life all the time, which isn't true. It's not true. When you get stuck in your heart, then it says, look, feeling is going to take care of all your problems. Loving will take care of all your problems. You just need to ignore your thinking because your logic does not always understand the ways of love. Just doesn't get it. And you need to ignore your sensing, this power thing, because love supersedes your instincts. When your instincts tell you one thing, go with love, right? Just trust your heart. Be loving, and you'll never experience shame or disconnection from other people, which is what we're sometimes trying to avoid, right? And what I can tell you is, that's not always true. It's just not always true. And so last, when you get stuck in your body, then it says, kind of sensing and power, it's going to take care of all your problems. Just be instinctual. Trust your gut all the time. You need to ignore your feelings, your heart, because you know what? Love, it's manipulative and distracting. Right? Yeah, it is. that's what it says. Or our body says, don't do that, right? And you need to ignore your thinking Because who has time for that, right? And there's just too much room for error when you're always thinking about things, always planning, right? Just trust your gut. Just trust your body and show the world, show everyone, you've got power and control. You got the power, which isn't true. Just not true. The head, the heart, the body will betray you in seeking out its own self-interest, its own prominence in your life. They are boxes we sometimes proudly live in and we judge others through because of our superiority, because of being purely thinking people, purely loving people, purely kind of power intuitive people. They whisper their lies in you in hopes of avoiding, really here's what they want to do. They're trying to help you avoid future pain. So the wound that happened does not happen to you again. And it's trying to help, what really needs to happen instead of holding it there and living out of that space is releasing the pain of the past and to stop holding it captive in your shame and in your anger and in your fear. That you would learn to release those wounds. You must get out of those boxes to truly love your neighbor as yourself. To do that fully. And so the story of Joseph and his brothers, it is a story about betrayal and forgiveness. That's what it is. It's also a story of shame and anger and fear. You've got all three of those present in the story, shame, anger, and fear. Joseph was the youngest son of 12 sons. I thought growing up, the oldest of three would be challenging. I think the youngest of 12 would be harder. And these, when I talk about the 12, here's what I'm talking about, right? I'm talking about the 12 sons of Jacob who would become the 12 tribes of Israel. Joseph's brothers resented him. They resented him because his father Jacob loved They thought, it sure seemed like, Dad loves Joseph the most. And it was partially because he was born the youngest son in Jacob's old age. When he probably should have been able to have a kid, he did. And so he was very special to him because of that. You may be familiar with the musical, right? Joseph's coat of many colors in that musical. His father gave him that coat, which made him really stand out amongst his brothers in their kind of probably dingy wardrobe. Well, his brothers were jealous over the gift that their brother received. They were very jealous. And so they decided to betray their brother. They are so angry with him that really there's some that wanted just to kill him. Let's just kill him, right? But instead, they say, no, that's really too much. Let's not do that. So they agree to sell him off. Let's sell him as a slave. And so the rest of the story, I'm going to fast track to the end of the story. I hope you kind of know some of it. But we fast track to the end, or to part of the story. Joseph grows up in Pharaoh's Egyptian palace. Is where he is serving. And so because of Joseph's connection and faith to God, Joseph rises up quickly in prominence within Pharaoh's palace. Later in life, Joseph will use his prominence to help save his brothers who had betrayed him. The very brothers that betrayed him. Now, he could have killed his brothers, and we would still love the story. Right? Because it was about justice. And so justice occurred. Good for Joseph, right? And we would think, yeah, that sounds right. They got what they deserved for doing that to him. But he doesn't do that. That's not the story. Instead, he forgives them, and they live, and the Bible would be drastically different, even if it existed at all, without those 11 brothers growing up to become the 12 tribes of Israel. Their families representing the 12 tribes of Israel, that a people that become a nation. And so the story of Joseph's betrayal is about how God uses that betrayal for the good of all people, including us sitting here today, right? This story has affected our story. It's affected our life. And so I want to encourage you by telling you this can be your story too. This can be your story too. From where you sit now, you do not fully understand yet how the power of learning to love God with all your heart, all your body, all your mind will affect the rest of your life and consequently the lives of others you know and love. Joseph never fully understood the gravity of his decision to respond to his family the way that he did. He could have kept that anger towards his brothers. He could have kept it locked up in his body, right, where that anger and that power is. He could have locked it up there. And when he finally saw them at the end and they were in need of food and the Egyptians had it all, he could have taken a sword. He could have gotten soldiers. He could have, in anger, lashed out at his brothers and done that. But instead, he chose to release the pain of that betrayal. He released it, and he showed them love. He got into that heart space, forgave them, loved them, provided for them. And so this morning, I pray that God gives you eyes to see any betrayal that has happened in your head and your heart and your body that they have kept hidden from you in your life. Because they do, they hide these things. Jesus calls you to love the Lord your God with all your head, all your heart, all your body. And when you do that, he then calls you to love your neighbor as yourself. As a result of your love for God. No longer be blinded by the work of fear and shame and anger in your life and how it has ruled you. Be free of these things that God may raise up nations through your life and through your devotion. And so as you receive communion this morning, here's what I want you to think about doing as you come forward. I want you to ask God to help you see where you are out of balance in your life, where you have been too much a person of head, heart, body, where you have trapped different emotions and hurts and things in there. And let him show you the wound and then do your best to give it to God, to release it fully over to him that he might do great works through you. All of you, your head, your heart, and your body. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning, and we thank you for Joseph's story. It's a story of betrayal, and Lord, we every day are being betrayed by ourselves in our desire to hold on to suffering and to hurt. Instead of forgiving and releasing and letting go, we choose bondage over freedom. Holy Spirit, this is your sanctuary. Come to this space as we receive communion. Release us from these pains and from these wounds. Heal us that we might be a story of your great work and your great love within our lives. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.